And thank you all listeners of Radio Mara for listening. Today we'll be having a Kostandi, our brother. We'll be having an interview on the charismatic movement, more particularly on the work of the Disciple of Jesus Covenant. Kostandi will be introducing himself, and also a few questions will be asked for his explanation about our faith and the charismatic movement in the church. So we welcome Kostandi for this interview, and I hope you all listeners will be benefiting from your listening of the work of the charismatic in the church.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father God, we come before you now, and we pray, Lord, that you may anoint us with your Holy Spirit, so that the words we use and this interview will reach our listeners, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit will fill their hearts and meet all their needs, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for that, because your word is life and light. And we ask for the intercession of Mary, our mother, that you will be with us during this time. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. All listeners long Radio Mare, today we got him one palong all guest long yumi, and we start one time we are so privileged to have Kostandi Bastoli. We are privileged to have you with Radio Mare and all the listeners who are listening today. For a start, Kos, can you introduce yourself, the place of birth, and more about your life testimony for the interest of our listeners who are listening out there?
Thanks, Eddie. I was born in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, only about 2 minutes' walk from Calvary, where Jesus was crucified and where he was buried in the sepulchre. I was born there, and I lived there for 20 years before, in 1969, the whole family migrated to Australia. I was educated at the De La Salle Brothers in Jerusalem. And then when I came to Australia, I also got introduced to the Charismatic Renewal Movement, which was in its beginning at that time, and became one of the leaders in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. The Disciples of Jesus community started in Sydney in 1979 and spread throughout Australia. And of course, here in Papua New Guinea, in the Philippines, in Bali, and now a new branch is starting in Denpasar, in Flores, in Indonesia. So it's that's part of like what I'm involved in as LA minister in the church. I'm doing it voluntarily, of course. Not being paid, but it's a great privilege to be serving the Lord in this way. I'm married. I have 5 children. Sometimes in Australia, when you say you have 5 children, they say, how many wives? So I have 1 wife and 6 grandchildren, which give me a lot of joy as well. Thank you.
How long have you been in the ministry?
Yes. In 1973, I was invited to a charismatic prayer group, which was in its beginning. And at that prayer group, like I felt I was very welcomed, and I felt very much at home. I was still new in Australia. But I felt really at home, and I was very impressed by the way the people at the prayer group, they're having a relationship with God. They seem to talk to him as if he is a friend. I wanted to be part of that. And shortly after that, we had a weekend retreat, in which in the weekend retreat we read the Bible and the teaching of the church about the charisms in the church and how to surrender our lives to that. And on that weekend, I got prayed with to surrender my life to the Lord and to receive the charismatic gifts. Sometimes we refer to that as being baptized in the Spirit. It's not another sacrament, but it's actually surrendering ourselves so that the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit that we have received in baptism and in confirmation that will come alive in us. So that was, I experienced that in 1973. And ever since I've been involved in the Charismatic Renewal and in Disciples of Jesus Covenant Community. And I found that the Lord was using me to reach out, first of all, to young people. I was a bit younger than that now. So, but I had a fair bit of work with young people, evangelizing and praying with them. Then I found myself being led to pray for people's needs with them. And among those needs, of course, we all need healing. And so I found myself drawn into a healing ministry, praying for people for physical, emotional, spiritual healings, and seeing the fruits of the Lord answering our prayers. I always say, I pray and the Lord is the one who does the healing. So I've been involved in that for many years now, since the 70s. And so quite a long experience, as you can tell.
Yeah. How do you explain to our listeners, you know, the word charismatic? They have heard of it, they have seen the work of the charismatic movement in their communities. Can you give a simple explanation to the charismatic movement in the church?
Well, the present charismatic renewal movement, as we know it in our days, it goes back to 1967, when a number of young people went on a retreat, and then they started experiencing the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word charism is from the Greek charisma or charismata, means spiritual gift. And here we are referring to the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as gifts of words of knowledge, wisdom, healing, praying in tongues, deliverance, and so on. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we refer to as charismatic gifts. Now, they're not only limited to five or seven or whatever. There's many charismatic gifts, and we discover them in our lives as we relate to the Lord. But as for the charismatic gifts themselves, if you read, for example, in the documents of the role of the laity in the church, there is a couple of sections on that saying that it is the right and the privilege of every baptized Catholic to use these charismatic gifts, but it's up to the Lord to give them as He wills. So if we are open, we receive those gifts. Now, so it's not something new in the church. The church has always experienced these gifts since Pentecost. At times they were a little bit more rare than other times, but in our times they seem to be more manifested in the church, and the presence of the Holy Spirit manifested through these charismatic gifts. I think sometimes people think, you know, is this Pentecostalism? Is it outside the church? And the answer to that is no. While these gifts are experienced in the Catholic Church, they are experienced elsewhere. Sometimes there is a difference in, say, some Pentecostalists, for example, would say you have to speak in tongues to be baptized in the Spirit. And as Catholics, we don't see it that way. Not everybody should receive the gift of tongues. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, says, do all speak in tongues? Do all prophesy? Do all work miracles? And the implied answer is no. But the whole idea, if we want to understand the charismatic gifts, is they are given to individuals for the benefit of the whole church. As in the body, we have different organs and parts of our body. They play different roles, but they make the body. So in the church, some receive this gift, some receive that gift, but we use them all for the benefit of the church. So no one person have to receive all the gifts or a particular gift. But each of us has a gift. St. Paul says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each. So each baptized Catholic would have these gifts because they are in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. They are manifestation of the Holy Spirit, whom we have already received in baptism and in confirmation. But how do we start to experience them? The key to that is something we refer to sometimes as baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is not another sacrament. It's a surrendering of oneself to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, here I surrender myself to you. Do with me whatever you will and give me whatever gifts you want to give me. Manifest those gifts that you have created for me so I can use them to serve the church. So so there is no right gifts and wrong gifts, like I want this and I don't want that. And this is sometimes people say, I don't want, for example, the gift of praying in tongues, and because it sounds a little bit strange and so on. It's not up to us. St. Paul says, make love your aim and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, particularly that you may prophesy. That's in the first letter to the Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It is okay to desire the gifts, and it's okay to ask God to give them to us. We don't have to be saints to receive these gifts, because they are not rewards for our holiness or for great works we have done. They're purely gifts from the Holy Spirit. And you don't give a person a gift because they deserve it. You give them a gift because you love them. And God gives us these gifts because He loves us, and He loves the church, and He wants to enrich us. And so He gives us these gifts. The main motivation with these gifts is make love your aim. Because if I have all the gifts and I have no love, St. Paul tells us, I am nothing. Okay? But if I am want to love God and want to love others, then the Lord will give me these gifts to enable me to do that beyond my natural capacity. Okay? So, make love your aim and eagerly desire. And Jesus says, let him who is thirsty come to me and drink. And sometimes the Lord makes us thirst and more for them. So we shouldn't give up and say, okay, Lord, show me what the gifts you want to give me, and then give up. But we should continue to thirst for them and to continue to wait. The apostles waited in the upper room for a long time to receive the promise of Jesus. And then we know that that promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. They didn't wait for a day or two. They waited a long time waiting. So sometimes you have to wait, thirst, hunger for it, but the charismatic gifts are for all of us. Recently, the Pope Francis was talking about prayer and praise. And he was saying, we often ask God for things, and he gives them to us, and then we can thank him. But do we praise God? Do we really praise God? Do we know how to praise God? And then he asked a question to himself, like people say to me, but Father, prayer and praise is for the charismatics. And he said, no, prayer and praise is not only for the charismatics, it's for the whole church. Okay? And he makes a point, even like when we praise God during the Mass, when we say the Gloria, for example, or the Holy, Holy, do we say it only with our lips or with our whole heart? But he made it clear that we need to praise God, and the way the charismatics do it is okay, and it's not only for them, it's for everyone. So this openness to the gifts of the Holy Spirit is something that the Church encourages us to do. From Pope Paul VI until today, like John Paul II and Benedict and Francis, they all spoke very favorably about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and their importance in the church. And there is a lot of talk now in the church about the new evangelization. And the new evangelization is to be with power, not just with words. So when the Holy Spirit manifests his presence with people being healed or people receiving words of knowledge or whatever, that builds people's faith up and draw them closer to the Lord. And that helps evangelizing. And if a person gets healed, for example, they have a story to tell. They get all excited about it. They go and tell others. So they're evangelizing and drawing people. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic gifts, are for all Catholics. And it's not the privilege of some. It's not only for holy people, but for all baptized Catholics. And if we practice them correctly, and if we use them and have prayer time and so on, that will help us to grow as Catholics, and it will help us come closer to the Lord and become holy, which is the call for all Christians, for all Catholics.
How simple can we identify the gifts in terms of our Catholic faith, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? You've just said the gifts of the speaking in tongues. How do we see it in the Catholic faith?
Well, let me just first clarify something about the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues, people find it very strange, but it can be manifest in three different ways. The first and most common is praying in tongues or praising God in tongues or singing in tongues. That's the most common. And what is that? That's praying from the heart, even without allowing it to be filtered through our mind, and just pouring out our heart out to the Lord. We using words may mean nothing to us, they come from our mouth, but when I pray in tongues, I know, I sense in my being that I am praising God, or I am interceding for someone, or I am thanking God for someone. So, for example, if I want to pray in English, I can pray in English. If I want to pray in Arabic, I can pray in Arabic. So it doesn't worry God what language I'm talking in. And when I pray in tongues, as I said, I'm praying from the heart, and the Holy Spirit understands what I am saying, and the Father understands what I'm saying, and I'm not being limited to the expression of the words that I use. So often I describe it as baby talk. When you have a baby, you'll see mom playing with the baby and dad, and people come and goo and ga over the baby and so on. They talk to the baby, and the baby responds and make noises and so on. They don't use a language as such, but they are communicating. They're communicating from the heart. And the baby senses mom and dad are loving him or her, and vice versa. When the baby responds with trying to, the parents understand that the baby is communicating with them. So it's the same sort of gift, the same sort of way, this gift of praying in tongues. It's very freeing, because if you sometimes you run out of words, you start praying and you want to continue to pray, and you wonder, what do you say? Okay, and this is where the gift of tongues comes very handy. It's just... people working in the field, sometimes they might start by singing a particular song, and then they start humming it and tuning it and so on. But they're still singing. They might not be using words as such. And it's the same with the gift of tongues. So should we be open to it? I say yes, because it's a gift of prayer. And we all need help with prayer. And this is how the Holy Spirit come to help us. Through that gift. If we are open to it, he will give it to us. The gift of tongues is also used in different ways, where sometimes a person give a message in tongues, then you have to wait for an interpretation. It's not a translation. The second person doesn't understand word by word what's being said, but they have the same sense that inspired the first person to speak in tongues, and they give an interpretation to that message so that the people may understand. So that's a different way the gift of tongues operate. Sometimes people think, okay, what is the use of praying in tongues if nobody understands? When I'm praying to God. I'm not praying for others to understand. But if I'm giving a message that's meant for others, then they need to understand, and that's where the gift of interpretation of tongues coming. It give an understanding to others. And combining the two together is like a gift of prophecy. And prophecy is not only about foretelling the future. Often people, when they hear the word prophecy, they think we are talking about knowing events in the future. Now, that could be one element of prophecy, but prophecy is... speaking the word of God for a particular people at a particular time and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the one who prophesies have a sense. Some people have a sense, some people even receive the words of what God wants to say to us right here, right now, for the people gathered there. And that's what we call prophecy. So prophecy is speaking the word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a message for a particular group or whatever. Sometimes it could be a message for the whole church, but the most common, when you have a prayer meeting or you have a conference or whatever, the message is for the people there. And the message might not be anything new. But God might want to just say, I love you, my children. Right? If this is what God wants to say to us right here now, and somebody get up there and say, God is delighted with us, and he says, I love you, my children, it will have the impact on people's heart. They feel God's love, right? They experience it through those words. So that's what the gift of a prophecy is about. And it's very enriching and upbuilding. Sometimes a prophecy also can correct us, call us to repentance. But even when that happens, we sense God's love in it. We sense he's not condemning us, but he is encouraging us to change, to turn to him, and so on. So it's not only about God telling us, I love you, but he's also leading us to repentance, to come closer to Him if we are doing the wrong thing, and so on. And with those words, it has the power, the energy to enable us to respond as well. If we receive it, and then we say, okay, I hear a word convicting me to repent, then it also gives me the energy, the impetus to go and get to confession, you know, so I can respond to it in that way. So these are what the charismatic gifts. How easy to identify them? It's not that easy and it's not that difficult. What does that mean? Well, see, if I'm going to just go and lock up myself in my bedroom and trying to discover my gifts, it's going to be very difficult. Okay? But if I'm involved in the church, if I'm in the prayer meetings and so on, that will become easier because the Lord will start showing me what to do, what to say. If I want to give me, for example, a gift of leadership, then I can see the needs of the people in a particular group and I say, okay, well, yeah, I need to do something, and I start serving them. Then I discover, oh, the Lord is using me in this way, so there I have this gift. You can be sitting there and having a prayer meeting, and then my heart starts pumping, and I feel God wants me to say something to the group, and I gather the courage and speak it up, and I find myself giving away a prophetic word. That's not going to happen if I'm just by myself. But what we do encourage people to do is to do the Life in the Spirit seminars. The Life in the Spirit seminars is a series of seminars that teaches us from the basic. God loves you, the basic gospel message. God wants to be in a relationship with us. We separated ourselves from God through sin. God loved us so much and sent His only Son to die on the cross for us, and we need to respond to Him. And basically, we lead people eventually to renew their baptismal vows. And then to, once they understand that they already received the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation, then we can say, okay, now surrender yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to use you. And once they do that, many people start experiencing the gifts there and then, like praying in tongues, for example. But they might receive other gifts at that time, such a gift of healing. How are they going to discover they have the gift of healing? Until they step out in faith and start praying with the people who are sick, and then they see the sick are being healed. So it needs to be discovered in action. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you are part of a charismatic prayer group or a charismatic community, such as a Disciples of Jesus community, and there's other communities as well, then it becomes more easier to discover those gifts because you are in that environment.
Thank you, all listeners, for your time, and also we thank our brother Kostan D for his time, his commitment to be with us, and what he has said in the spirit. We thank God for this wonderful blessing in the church, and we praise God for leading the church spiritually in the work of evangelization and in the work of the redemption of all humankind. Thank you, and God bless you all.